All right, so the title of my sermonette today is Joshua. It is very much a vignette on his life. And I was preparing for this idea before all of the events of the past week, but I think they play in very, very well with what many of us have been experiencing. I want to open with the statement that I've lately been contemplating about doing hard things. To be more specific, I started a new job recently, shortly after the feast, in fact, and only been there for about 6 months. I think I've talked about that a little bit, but it's very present in my mind, and this new job challenges me in many new ways, which is great. It serves me well. But quite frankly, the work is hard. But when thinking about what makes the work hard, as I'm wrestling with this in my own life, it isn't very easy to explain why the work is hard. If someone was observing me doing my work, they wouldn't jot down on their clipboard that the work looked to be very hard at all. I sit all day long, I wiggle my fingers, and that's about all the physical activity I do, typing on my keyboard. I attend meetings, I make plans, I fill out spreadsheets, I communicate with team members, I just talk. It doesn't really sound very difficult. A hard conversation is something that you may relate to, but a hard conversation with somebody is no more than speaking words that we think and feel. Sometimes it can be hard to find those words, and we have all done work and gone through experiences which we can characterize as being hard, even though from the outside looking in, the activities might not seem that way. So what is it that makes things hard to do? Well, I think you will all probably agree with me that it has to do with reaching our limits, the limits of finding the words to use when we are having a conversation, the limits that we might bump up against in our experience when we encounter something brand new, which we have a hard time of understanding or a hard time of knowing what to do. When we hit the limits of our knowledge, it is hard to learn and understand. When we have more things to do than we have time for, it is hard to meet our deadlines and fit it all in. When we have something that is physically demanding, that requires more strength than we have, it is hard to do that work. When we experience an extreme change, for example, when we experience a loss, it is hard to adapt. We've all done work and gone through experiences that we can characterize as being hard because of the limits, whether real or perceived, that we have on our current capacity. And that current capacity is the key. That is where our limits are. But we are not static human beings. We are dynamic. We are able to flex our capacity. And we've all had to face our limits. We will continue to face our limits. At those moments on the battlefield of life where we confront our limits, all we can do is choose how we can respond. There will be times when we aren't ready and choose to retreat. And there will be times when we cannot retreat. But at those times, we may be pushed to the front where the fighting is hot and where all we can do is do our very best. Whether by force or whether by compulsion of conviction, we will be there. Those moments we may experience self-doubt, where we may try and fail. Or I hope and pray that you and I may be surprised at what we can go through and what we can accomplish when we show up and we face our limits and stretch our capacity and do what's hard. The fact is that we do have real limits. We are not limitless in our lives. We have boundaries that determine our possible accomplishments. Fortunately, we have God on our side who is there to strengthen us, and he has none. God has no limits to his capacity and how he can help us and the things that he can do. With this in mind, I would like to take a look at Joshua and his life. Joshua was catapulted into a position as Moses was at the end of his life and as he transferred his authority and leadership to him. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 31, and I'll read verses 1 through 8. Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 1. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites in their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. This inevitable time came when Moses could no longer lead Israel. His time had drawn to an end. Joshua had been his assistant throughout their years wandering in the wilderness. He was his right-hand man. He was already performing the duties of a leader under Moses's guidance and tutelage. But now, at this point in time, Moses puts him in charge over the entire nation. Not only that, but Joshua is given a very difficult mission to fulfill, to do something that even Moses was not able to do, one that would test Joshua's limits, to bring that nation across a river into a land that was already inhabited by people and dispossess them of it and make a home for them there. How in the world is that going to be possible? Fortunately, as we see here, God is reassuring Joshua. Deuteronomy 31, 28, and 29, Moses acknowledges the difficulty that Joshua would have. Not directly here, but you'll see what I mean. It states in Deuteronomy 31, verse 28, Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Quite an indictment, I feel. You know, some estimate that there were about 2 to 3 million people in the nation of Israel at this point in time. And Moses made a point of publicly and openly making a display of the transfer of leadership to Joshua so that it would not be disputed in front of these people. And he also openly expresses his concern for Israel because of the disobedience which he knew was in their hearts. And this is what he handed over to Joshua. Here you go. So take a moment to put yourself in Joshua's shoes or his sandals and consider the weight of the responsibility that Joshua was about to take on. He had to take over from Moses' leadership, number one. Those are quite some shoes to fill. In addition, he had to lead this nation of men and women and children to go across a river into a land inhabited by other people and dispossess them of their homes. And by the way, they didn't really have bridges over the Jordan where he was going over. He hadn't quite figured out that one yet, how it was going to work. And on top of that, he was working with people who don't like to listen, who do not like to follow leadership. Some kinds of missions seem impossible, and this certainly looks like one of those recipes. Joshua faced that moment in his life when his limits would be tested, and then it happened. Moses died, and it was time to put his plan into action. Joshua had to carry on. As Moses said, you must do this. And Joshua was about to take on the biggest work of his life. In Joshua 1, verses 1 through 7, he is encouraged. This is after the point in time that Moses had died. Joshua 1, and beginning in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law, to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God knew what responsibility he was placing on Joshua's shoulders. The job was a very big one, very difficult to carry out. God also knew that Joshua, he needed reassurance. He needed to be strengthened. He needed these words of encouragement. The future of God's plan depends on me to follow through with what I have been given to do. Those are Joshua's words, not directly, but you can imagine that that's what he feels, and that is probably and should be how we feel. For that, God tells Joshua to be strong, to have courage, that he will be there in time of need. His limits would be tested. And it was very motivating. In the momentum of that encouragement, Joshua led Israel across the Jordan and defeated Jericho. Not only did he lead them across the Jordan, but God stopped the water of the river, and they crossed over on dry land. Yet, Joshua, he faltered. Let's turn over to Joshua 7 and read verses 6 through 10. He too is human like you and I. Joshua 7, beginning in verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, Lord, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? I'm stopping there. God, in his communication with Joshua, lets him know that there had been a problem in his nation. Somebody had sinned, and that was the cause of his problems. God says to Joshua, in so many words, paraphrasing, "Get up. Don't give up. You can keep going. Don't stop here. This is just a minor speed bump." Here we see Joshua in his moment of defeat, and you can imagine him feeling that he had at that moment, not knowing what to do. He had been defeated sorely after so many victories. But God tells him differently. "Get up, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You can do this. Don't you remember, I will never leave you or forsake you. Only when you disobey my commandments, you will face setbacks." We too will face difficult situations and personal defeat. We too will have times when we want to run away from the hard things that we have to do. But we have been called to do more with our lives, to stretch our limits and increase our capacity with God's strength. We have been called to do the hard things. Take courage when you have hit your limits. When you bump up against a river that you can't cross over, it is our time to give our requests over to God. You can do it through the strength of God, who will never leave you nor forsake you.